Hey, Kent.
Hey, Michael, what's up?
Not much. I am super excited to talk with you about React today. In our last episode, we talked all about your career leading up to React, kind of all of the technologies that you were involved in, whether that be Java, kind of early JavaScript, Angular, Backbone. There were so many things that you have done, a lot of testing in there, but you're super excited about React. And so today I just want to talk about why React, why you're hyped on it now, why you're excited about your new course, Epic React, all the things React. So to dive in, just tell me, like, what was the first thing that pumped you up on React? Like when you saw it, you were like, this is it. This is where I want to live.
Oh man. So like I first heard of React when I was driving to ngConf. So I was listening to a podcast. They were interviewing probably Pete Hunt and Christopher Chedeau, I think. They were talking about this thing they were building called React. I was driving up to Salt Lake to, I think it was the first ngConf. Yeah, it was the first ngConf. Maybe it was the second. I can't remember. But
and that was like the big Angular conference at the time, right? For people who don't know what the ng attribute is for.
Yeah, and so I was like, hey, this thing sounds interesting, but I'm going to an Angular conference. Woo! Like, you know, and at the time, the AngularJS was at the top of the world. Like, it was the thing. If you weren't doing Angular, then what even were you doing?
Yeah.
Maybe Ember, I guess.
But, like, Angular had dominated for sure. Yeah.
It was so on top. And so, like, I was kind of feeling, you know, especially as a younger engineer, I was like, I'm on the winning team, haha. And so I'm hearing about this React thing, and I'm like, yeah, it sounds interesting. I think it was at ngConf that I talked to a few people there who were like, yeah, React, it seems kind of interesting. Like, it's worth a check out. And so it was like the next week I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. And I went through the tutorial and started reading through the docs. And it said in the docs, like, just give it 5 minutes. And I was like, all right, I can give this thing 5 minutes. And I saw the JSX and I was like, oh, gross. Yeah, that's disgusting. That's so wrong. And then literally 5 minutes in, I was like, nope, this is it. I found it. This is great. Like, all of the things that, like, there were so many things about Angular that I was like, ah, that's not my favorite, but it's fine. But then there were so many things I didn't know that were, I didn't like about Angular. Like, I didn't know that it could be better. And when I was using Angular, and this is AngularJS, I never really got into Angular 2.
Sure.
When I was using Angular, I kind of found myself trying to push more of my stuff into JavaScript. So I created Angular formally. Well, I didn't create it. I actually inherited it and maintained it for a number of years. Like, the whole idea of Angular formally is, let's take your forms and move as much of those over to your JavaScript as possible to just make it so that you can have, like, make these form elements that are really imperative, so you have a lot of power, and then the users of those things can use a really declarative API. It was awesome. I loved Angular formally and was happy to maintain it. And so when I was looking into React, it was like, this is basically what I was trying to make Angular do with Angular formally, just without all of the framework getting in the way. And by that, I mean, React allowed me to use JavaScript to work with the framework rather than use JavaScript to build my app rather than work around the framework to build my app. And there was no template DSL. There's React elements. And for some reason, I caught on to the idea of React elements, and like JSX is just a React create element. Like, JSX is just JavaScript. You know, I caught on to that vision really quickly. And just like light bulb moment for me, like, this is the thing, I found it. And it really was just a few minutes of working with it and I remember reading through the docs, and they'd have like these little snippets of like, we do things this way for this reason, you know, that's like a good programming idea. I can't remember, like, if you go back to early 2015, I tweet about like, here's a quote from the docs, like, isn't this mind blowing? This is so true, or whatever. So yeah, it just really connected with me. And it wasn't like, it took me a whole almost another year before I actually made the switch over to React, but it was pretty early on. I was like, my days with AngularJS are numbered. I'm going to be doing React eventually.
Wild. As you're going through that, like, I mean, you're deeply entrenched in another community, and you're kind of like eyeing this other community. Like, this has like, this has like more of the ideals that I'm interested in and whatnot. I'm curious, like, what that tension felt like, because I think we're going to talk about this, like, you know, when you know it's time to switch, like, later on in these episodes. But I'm kind of curious, like, what that tension felt like. Was it kind of clear, like, immediately that you were going to make this switch? Or was there, like, a period of, like, well, do I see it out with this Angular thing? Or do I, like, jump right into, like, React?
Yeah, there was definitely tension. Like, Angular was, you know, Angular 2 was going to come and save us all from the things we didn't like about Angular 1. And, you know, like, I don't mean that in an offensive way to anybody who's using Angular 1. Like, every framework has things you don't like about it. There are things about React I don't like that I would like to see changed. But yeah, so, like, I was hanging on to that. In fact, I gave a talk at a conference about Angular 2 as, a preview. Like, this is the way things look. And literally the next week, everything in my talk was irrelevant because they changed everything. Yeah, so, like, it was, I was definitely... And actually, fun story. So I got my company to send me to Ryan Florence's week-long React training. It was called React Week. And it was here in Utah. And while I was at this training, like, he was doing some really basic stuff. So I was like, I kind of already know this. And so I actually was in conversations with the Angular team. And because of my work with Angular formerly, they had me advise them on the Angular 2 API for forms. So actually, cool. Angular formerly is very heavily influenced the Angular API that people use today, which is pretty cool. So during that week, I actually jumped out of the training so I could go, like, find a room to do a video chat with the Angular team. So I'm supposed to be learning React, but I was hanging out with the Angular team. Good times. So, like, there was still, like, this hope that, okay, Angular is going to fix all the things that I don't like about AngularJS, and then, like, it won't make a difference. I can, you know, they're fine. But the further that we got along with Angular 2, the more and more they started, they said they wouldn't do this, they wouldn't do that, and then, oh no, we actually do need to do this. We need our own module system, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. You have this, you know, there were so many things I was like, no! And so I began to see the writing on the wall that Angular 2 was not going to solve the things I didn't like about AngularJS. And that was kind of where I started to think, I think I'm going to switch over to React. At some point.
Now, you mentioned that there's a couple things that you, like, don't like about React still, and I'm gonna jump in there right away, because why not? I'm sure people's ears are tickling.
I'm sure they're like, oh, I want to hear what this is.
Yeah. So why don't we dive into that? And because no framework is, like, perfect. Like, there's no perfect general framework, right? Like, these things have to apply to, like, a bunch of use cases and a bunch of different styles of programming. So I'm kind of curious, you know, what are a couple of the things right now that you feel like, you know what, this isn't quite my favorite. It doesn't quite do what I want it to do in React.
Honestly, like, this isn't really about the technology itself, but it is important to me. And that is Facebook. It's a double-edged sword here with Facebook being the creator, I guess, or the maintainer of the framework. So, like, on the one hand, you've got this massive company that serves infinity users, and they have, like, so many hard use cases that they have to solve at a huge scale.
Yeah.
And then they're, at the same time, they're interested in making sure that it's solved at a small scale too, because they have internal projects at Facebook that use it. So it needs to satisfy those small use cases and these enormous use cases at the same time. So that is awesome. That actually, if I were to say there's one of my favorite features of React, that is it. But then also my least favorite feature of React is that as well. Because Facebook as a company, I have problems with that company. It just ethical, moral issues as a company. I'm not happy with that being the place where React is at. Now, like, it could take an approach like Vue, where it's, like, just totally independent. This guy does this full time and he does a great job of it. But then they have to struggle to make sure that they are handling the use cases at scale, where Facebook has access to all of that. So, like, there's no perfect solution there, but that, I would say, is my biggest thing. So as far as, like, technical things about React that I would like to see changed, there's this JSX2 thing that they've been talking about, like, just slightly different syntax. That would be cool. There are several things in there, like class instead of class name and different things like that. I've gotten really used to JSX as it is today, but as a teacher, I see people trying these different things and they're like, well, it's not really like HTML. And sure. A couple of those things could help mitigate some of those problems. Also, like, to get deep into the weeds, event delegation is a real pain for like some of the, like, it just adds some extra, most of the time you don't notice it, but when you do, it is a bit of a pain. And so just having that single, I mean, event delegation as a general practice, that's fine, but having that thing be bound to the document body rather than to the root node. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, that sort of irrelevant, but kind of one of those things that I'd like to see change. Probably a bigger one is I'd like to see React Suspense get released.
Sure.
That would be great.
It kind of, as you were talking about your experience with Angular 2, it kind of, I was thinking about where we're at right now, right? Because I know that you've probably given talks or released courses where it's like, hey, this is the next thing. And it's like, no.
This is an important difference though. And the React team was really, really super hyper concerned about an Angular 2 effect when they released hooks.
Yeah.
And it was, like, I think that was very responsible of them to be so concerned about that. But and I feel like they handled the hooks release really well. The difference between React Suspense and Angular 2 is definitely not how long they've been working on it. Because like Angular 2, they worked on it forever, years, and now React Suspense is years. But I think that the difference is it's not a fundamental shift. Like when they introduced Angular 2, it was like, here's a tombstone. Like this is a concept that you had to deal with in AngularJS and now it's dead. You don't need to. And as they were giving that presentation, like even they will admit it was a terrible way to present it. But what they basically were saying, like all of that time that you've spent investing in understanding these concepts, wasted.
Yeah.
And React Suspense, maybe a little bit like, okay, yeah, we're not going to be using useEffect or, you know, the component life cycles for asynchrony anymore. But like, I feel like that's pretty lightweight compared to like the Angular 2 thing where it's like, yeah, basically the entire framework is different. And I remember I was working on an AngularJS project at the time and we were faced with, okay, so we're going to upgrade to Angular 2, obviously, right? But just thinking about that was like, this is basically migrating to an entirely different framework. And if we're going to do that, we may as well migrate to React. And so like migrating to React Suspense will not be that at all because you just enable concurrent mode. Now you can use the Suspense cool features. And then you like iteratively add Suspense awesomeness as you go. And so it's, and like there's no wonkiness about that either. That's the same thing with hooks where with Angular, they were like, hey, yeah, so you can use this ng upgrade thing to go from AngularJS to Angular, but it was very hacky to make that work. Whereas with React Suspense, once you have concurrent mode enabled, which is no small feat, like I'm sure that'll be a bit of a challenge for people, but once you have that going, then like iterating your way to the Suspense feature won't be a huge thing. So I'm a little bit less concerned about Suspense. My biggest thing is just, I want it now.
Now, you mentioned the kind of like migration strategy of React, and I really think that they have done a brilliant job. I mean, over the last few years, they have changed almost the whole framework, and it's been largely painless. And, you know, part of that is because they, you know, try to move slowly and, you know, again, have the benefit of have the benefit of Facebook scale. So, you know, they have to migrate their whatever 100,000 million components that they have. You know, so they feel the pain, you know, when we have to do the same thing. And I love that. Now, and I think that, as you mentioned, that's one of the greatest benefits of React is that scale. Because, you know, so many times, like, you know, the framework creators are like, okay, well, we invented the next great thing. And upgrade your apps. It's a new thing. It's a new day. Rewrite them.
Like the next thing. So like, why would anybody want to do the old thing?
Now, another thing you mentioned is the challenge of JSX. I don't want to talk about that because it feels like a lot. I liken this to Vim sometimes, where so much of the cost is upfront. And I feel like so many people coming to React the cost in learning it and the investment is upfront. Like once you get past kind of those initial hurdles, it's actually, it's kind of like downhill from there, but you got to do a pretty big climb. How is it that you have helped people through that initial hurdle of HTML to JSX? Because you really do. I mean, if you've been running HTML for, you know, 20 years, you know, it's kind of like, hey, your experience is actually a detriment to you
here. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. So one of the things that I like about JSX is that the difference between JSX and HTML is like, for the most part, like available on a single page in the docs, right? Like there are a handful of attributes that are different. You know, how you handle SVGs with, you know, colons in the attributes. Yep. Like that's, I would wager to guess that 99% of the people listening to this right now have never had to do that for one thing. And so it's not like a super common thing anyway, but there are like those little subtle things here and there.
Yep.
And those are the types of things you just have that those docs open as a reference, you know, for whenever you have differences. But like the biggest challenge that I find with that initial hill that you have to climb that you're talking about is getting an understanding that JSX converts to React.createElement call. And so it's function calls. And so once you are able to look at JSX and say, okay, I know what this looks like if I were to write it in just like regular JavaScript, then all of a sudden the whole world opens up to you and you understand how, like, why you can't do certain things. Like, why can't I do an if statement in the attribute list? Or why can't I, you know, whatever? Or what's so special about the children position of JSX?
Right.
Different things like that. Which is why in Epic React, in the fundamentals, I start with, here, let's just create an element, like a DOM element. Let's do document.createElement. And let's look at that thing. And now, let's we'll render that with document.body.append and whatever. And now let's try creating a React element. And let's console log that thing and see what that is. And now let's go over to JSX and we'll console log the JSX. And oh, that's these are exactly the same thing. So the reason you can't do an if statement is because that would be like doing an if statement in an arguments list, which anybody with experience doing JavaScript knows this like clearly doesn't make any sense. And so like that's probably the biggest hurdle is being able to like once you can look at JSX and say, okay, I can see the JavaScript in my mind for what that is, then everything changes. But yeah, I agree. That's the first biggest hurdle.
I love that. And I love that you start teaching from that position. Because I think a lot of education, you know, even this conversation, right? It's hard to understand the value of React without understanding the history of why those decisions needed to be made, right? And maybe that history is Angular. Maybe that history is Ember or like whatever framework you're using before.
Hmm.
And I love that you kind of start from core principles to say like, hey, this is how ever since we've had a DOM, we've created elements like this. And then taking it from JavaScript to React. Now, you mentioned Epic React, and I want to talk, kind of transition into that. What is, at a high level, what is this? Because you've released plenty of courses on React before, done tons of workshops. What does Epic React represent and why is it special?
Oh, Michael, man. Epic React is so much. It represents like, how long have I been working on React? Since I learned to type. Like, it just, Epic React is it represents everything that I have that I know about React and everything I know about teaching React effectively. So I've been teaching React pretty much since I first learned it. You know, teaching it to coworkers and then teaching it, you know, at paid venues and things. And I've learned so much about teaching this effectively and, you know, read research and all kinds of things on how I can get people to understand this. And the reason that I care so much is because React has enabled me to do really amazing things. And my core goal of my life is to make the world a better place. And the best way I can do that is by using software, because I'm a software developer. I try to use software to make the world a better place. And as I've developed my skills as a teacher, I'm able to magnify the amount of good that I can do in the world by teaching other people to make software, really quality, high quality software. And React is the best way to do that. And so React represents my effort in trying to make the world a better place by disseminating this information to other people who hopefully will use that knowledge to make the world a better place. And so it represents basically my attempt at giving people a single place that they can come to and learn everything that they need to know about React. So like, I've never done any React before. I've never even done any programming before. So I'll give you, I don't teach you JavaScript, but I give you the resources that you need to go learn it. Because there is the expectation that you know JavaScript and HTML and CSS, just like even the fundamental ideas and like have some experience with that. And I'll give you the resources to go brush up on that. And so once you're at that point, from start to finish, I'll teach you React all the way to like super advanced topics and even experimental topics like suspense. And then I'll give you a real practical scenario where you can apply what I've taught you to a real application. And then hopefully you take that and move on to making the world a better place with the skills that I've taught you. So that's what Epic React is to me.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, how does it tie into some of your other courses? I know you have Beginner's Guide to React. You have a course on suspense. Do you have other courses that you teach people through?
Yeah. So I've got Advanced React Patterns and Refactoring from Hooks to, or from Classes to Hooks. Yeah. I've got a bunch of courses on React and like testing and all sorts of like testing React apps. So what makes Epic React special is that it's the first time that I have taken the workshop format that I have that I've developed over years and applied it to a video course. And so I actually did do a little bit of this in testing JavaScript as kind of an experiment, and it worked so great. But over the last several years, I've been developing my ability to really make sure that the concepts I'm teaching people are sticking. And so in a workshop setting, that's a lot easier because I can see people's faces and I can see how things are working. It's a little harder to do that on video, but I've developed a really great mechanism for making sure that, and based on research that I've read, for making sure that the concepts that I'm teaching people are going to stick. And so the unique thing about Epic React is that I will introduce a topic or a problem for people to solve, and then I send them off to go solve it. And I don't teach really the concepts that you need to learn to go solve it. Instead, I say, here are the resources you need to go to go learn those things. And, I basically have hired you to solve this problem for me, and I leave it up to you to go to figure it out.
I like that.
Yeah, and it works so great because you're using your brain just like you would like on the job, which is where you're going to learn the best. And then, once you're finished, then you can come back and I'll work through the solution and we can compare notes. And if you got it wrong, then that actually is even better. Because you'll remember it better for getting it wrong. So I could talk about this forever, but that's what's so special about Epic React is that it's more than just a video course that you throw up on the Chromecast and sit back and watch on your big screen TV. It's an interactive, very time intensive, I don't know, it's gonna be 25 hours or so worth of content. Of you watch this one video, then you spend the next 20 minutes or 30 minutes fixing that or solving that problem, and then you can move on and watch me solve it and then go on to the next. So this is basically a React bootcamp is what Epic React is.
I love that. React bootcamp. Now, something that I really like about the approach you're taking is that kind of pain first approach. Like you're sending them out into the world hey, here's how you fish, right? Here's all the stuff that you the places that you're going to get this information from. But then everyone's forced into a position where they have to feel that pain of not knowing, maybe feeling a little bit inadequate or underprepared and whatnot. And then kind of coming together and having a really good lens into why the solution that you're presenting is important or good, or maybe even better than what they came up with on their own. Do you see a lot of light bulb moments, when everyone comes back and you start actually coding up the example in the way that you know how React works?
Yeah. So when I do remote workshops, it's a little harder to see those light bulb moments. but when I do it in person, I can see that there's always a couple of people in the workshop who has their, they have their entire emotional state on their face.
That's true.
And so you can see them like really thinking through things and like, oh, and then their eyes go like, you know, it, and it's fun to watch that. And I always know that those are the ones who are really going to nail it and remember the stuff. They're going to ask me the right questions. And this is actually why throwing them into the deep end first, and, you know, luckily there aren't sharks in there, like they'll be fine. And like just throwing them in the deep end, let them struggle a little bit. And I tell them that, I say like, it's important that you struggle. If you don't struggle, you're not learning. Like learning is a struggle. So
yeah.
And I tell them like, confusion is not good. I don't want you to be confused, but like, you know, working hard at it, like feeling a little uncomfortable, that's important. And so, yeah, seeing that struggle, and then like, they don't even have to finish the whole exercise. The idea is just like, get your mind into this state so that when you watch me go through the exercise, you've been exposed to the problem enough to understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. And that's the real difference between just a video course that you watch on your Apple TV and the what we have here, is because you are forced to struggle with it for a little bit, get your head in the right problem space, and then you can watch the video and get an idea of like, okay, I see how Kent approached solving that problem. And yeah, there will be light bulb moments. Prepare your light bulbs.
Something that I'm really excited about this Epic React podcast is that, you know, we're going to talk about React, but we're really going to talk about the things that maybe won't be covered in the course, which is going to be how to like take this to your day jobs and how to like actually, you know, build a career using the things that you've learned in React. Kind of the more like meta of like, how do you actually build your career and like, you know, progress and develop as a software developer? That brings me to an interesting point, which is a lot of times, you know, React is a front-end framework, right? And I know that there's a lot of things that are like, a lot of times it can feel like we're just developing like half of a framework. And so I'm kind of curious how you, of an application, right? I'm curious how you incorporate that knowledge and knowing that people are going to need a backend, need some, you know, backend experience into Epic React to make sure that people really are ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah, that's a great question, Michael. We don't dive into backends really at all in Epic React. And I leave some room for maybe having some course on how to use a platform as or a backend as a service or something. There's definitely potential for that. Because I do want people to be able to just hit the ground running. My target audience is people who will not be building the backend. I think that we are at a stage in the software world where you can't really be a full stack developer. That thing just does not exist. Because not just the technical prowess, but like if you really want to be a full stack developer, you have to also understand all the security implications of everything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that is not realistic, I think, for anybody, especially the audience that I'm targeting. Like if you know nothing about React and you're just getting started into programming, it's really unlikely that I can teach you all of React and all of the things you need to know for backend.
Right.
So yeah, we don't get into backends. What I do is we have a backend that we use. And we interact with that, and we have I built out like an authentication module that would be similar to the kind of thing that you would use. Like, I don't recommend any company build authentication unless their company is authentication. yeah, there's that hot take for you. Like, you will do it wrong, and so I strongly advise using a pre-built solution for that. Auth0 is a great one. There are many others. You know, grab something off the shelf for your authentication, grab something off the shelf for your backend, for your data management, that sort of stuff. And I'm here to teach you everything you need to know. And this is the cool thing, because like, I know that the no code movement and everything, they're trying to commoditize the front end, and eventually they probably will. AI is going to eat our world eventually anyway. But I think that the front end is probably going to be one of the last things to be commoditized. Whereas like already we're seeing, we saw infrastructure as a service, then platform as a service, and now we're seeing backends as a service. And we have authentication as a service. And now the job of us front end engineers is to piece all of these things together into a cohesive application. And so, yeah, I will probably include some content on Epic React for, like, let's just choose a couple of these and piece them together and let me show you how to do that. But the challenge is, like, I don't know which one of these pieces you're going to want to choose. And I can recommend some of these. And that's what I do. And that's, like, part of the value of Epic React is there are millions of ways to do everything. And I give you a specific, here's what I recommend. And so, like, that can be valuable for that reason, and I'll probably do it eventually. But that's kind of my take on this is, yes, you can hit the ground running. Try not to build your own backend. Like, there are other services that you can use for that. And what I'll probably end up doing is adding, like, a little appendix for here's how you build serverless functions. Because, like, the services that we have now for having this little snippet of code that needs to be private, needs to run on a server somewhere, like, that is one video. Like, so this kind of stuff is easy. It's the front end stuff that still takes a lot of work. And that's what Epic React is focused on.
I think that's a really interesting approach. I think it's so hard right now to, like, the back end is a moving target, right? Like, it really does feel like it just kind of, like you said, it's being consumed by, you know, serverless and all that. And it's hard to know, like, what you're, you know, maybe your company is, like, mid-transition, right? Like, you're going from some monolith application, you know, and hitting those endpoints to serverless. And I like that you are giving people the tools they need to be an effective, like, front-end developer and, like, target whatever service that ends up needing to be. Because one of the beauties of having React and doing so much in the client is that you don't need to be aware of the backend in the same ways, right? As long as they're, like, decoupled, you know, you can authenticate, you can, like, get your data, you know, whether that be REST or GraphQL or whatever. And as long as you have the tools in your tool belt to kind of grab that data effectively, then you're really good to go.
Yeah, that is so true, Michael. And, you know, one other thing I just want to make sure is clear is I'm not recommending that everybody just go off and use serverless. Like, I don't think that is the answer. Eventually, maybe it will be. I don't know. Like, the backend is being commoditized and lots of it can be, but it's not 100% there. Like, you can't just go say, okay, I'm going to use Airtable for my backend. Like that's not going to work for every application. So I absolutely see value in there being backend engineers, but that's kind of what I see is, like, the full stack engineers, they exist. Like, they're not a unicorn or something, but, like, they're becoming less and less available. And I
sure,
one of the ways that I provided a huge amount of value to PayPal was that I was super good at React, and I could solve their front end problems really well, and then I could delegate all of my back end problems to their amazing back end engineers. And so that's kind of what Epic React is focused on. It's like, if you want to build your own thing, that's totally cool. Go use a backend as a service. It really doesn't take a lot of time to wire those things up. You can get Hasura for your GraphQL and different whatever, serverless functions for the little bits of server logic you need to do. So yeah, you can totally build your small app by yourself, 100% full stack, whatever. But if you're at a company, you probably want to have backend engineers. Those are the two personas that I'm targeting. And I think that applies to 90% of people doing React.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. I feel like, you know, we've seen a lot of, you know, full stack frameworks. It feels almost like people who identify as full stack developers have kind of continued to really love frameworks like Rails or Laravel. And there's still a huge amount of space for that. And it seems really kind of, those seem to be almost like the entrepreneurial frameworks, I guess, because it's, like, all in one box. And we've seen in this, like, client driven space, a lot of just, like, hey, you know, the backend might change. I might be hitting 10 different backends, right? So what you're saying is so true that, like, you can have an amazing career just being an incredible React developer and being the person who can reliably tie all of those services together to make a product. Why is it that you think that the front end space is going to be last in that kind of, like, wave of AI and service based commoditization of web development work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that it's mostly because, like, think about the business folks who come to you with requirements. They might say, hey, I need to have, like, some database. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it looks like. You put flowers on it, whatever. I don't care. And I need to have, you know, some way to communicate with that. Oh, and there needs to be this extra logic that, like, on this second Monday of the month, then I need to do this thing. Okay, like, you know, but I don't care what language you use. I don't care any about that at all. And then they come to the front end and they say, well, I need this button over here and I need it to look like this. And when you click on this, then I want it to do this other thing. And I can see the no code movement, like drag and drop GUIs or whatever, like making that work. But I feel like that's harder than genericizing databases and,
You
know, so that's kind of what, and, you know, it could be my personal bias because, like, I'm well served when everything else is commoditized and all that's left is what I can do. Like, with my bias, I guess, it seems to make sense to me that, like, the business requirements for the UI are just so much more particular than the business requirements for the backend stuff.
I love that. As we kind of bring things to a close on this episode, what are some of the concepts that you're just most excited about in Epic React that you think people are going to walk away with just being like, oh my gosh, I had no idea like I could do this. I had no idea I could do this simply. What are some of the, like your just highlight moments in Epic React?
So like I've got the testing stuff. Like I love, it's funny, I didn't expect to be the testing guy. Like I never really planned on being the testing guy, but I guess I am now. And I wrote the library that everybody uses for testing React now. And seeing people just explode with joy when they start using testing, my testing tools and following my testing advice. I don't see that as much with brand new developers who've never done any of it. They're just like, oh, this is what it's like. This is kind of fun. But like with people who've had the pain of testing in the past, like, I love that. So I'm excited for any of you who are listening who have struggled with testing in the past, prepare your lives to get so much better. And it's not just the tools. Like there are things that I will show you that will make things better. So if you've already been using the tools and you still struggle, I will show you things that will make that better. I also have this workshop on patterns that you can use in React to simplify things. I'm excited for people to see that. I'm really excited for people to see how all of these things that I teach you apply in an actual code base. Because we take all these concepts and we put it in a real code base. And I think that is pretty special as well, where it's like, oh, okay, now I understand why, you know, you do things this way. It's not just so you can have a counter that increments every time I click this button, but it actually like, I use this to, you know, set the ratings on the, you know, the star ratings for this book or like to do a debounce on the text input of this notes text area, whatever. I think those are a couple of things that I'm especially excited about. You know, the React suspense thing, I've got suspense in there. Like, hey, this is a preview. It's kind of fun. It's interesting and whatnot, but not super applicable. And like the fundamentals, I always love teaching those fundamentals because it's just so, it's different from the way that lots of people learn the fundamentals. And like, yeah. I'll have people who are like, I've been using React for 4 years and I've never understood this. Like, I love that. So I like the way that this will approach teaching the fundamentals. And in general, I like the approach to learning that this has to offer for people. So I'm excited to get feedback on that too.
Now you're experimenting with a new way of actually leading people through your curriculum. And I just wanted to take a couple minutes and talk about that and why you're excited about trying to incorporate Discord and cohorts into...
it's like cohorts. A Discord cohort, like... Cohorts. Yeah. So I literally just this last weekend started to, well, no, I've been thinking about this forever, but like this last weekend, I kind of came up with this idea with learning. I am so interested in how do I take the knowledge and experience that I have and fast track you so you don't have to spend the time doing what I've done, right? Like this is the cool thing about specialization. And, you know, ever since like, you know, people started saying, oh, okay, I'll go farm and you go make the farming tools and then we'll be fine. So like yeah. Specialization is so cool. So I've specialized in learning this stuff and learning how to teach it so that you can specialize in building your product. And so I will just fast track you into the knowledge and then you can go build your thing and I'll just keep on learning this stuff and I'll keep on teaching it to you. So I've specialized in that. I am so committed to figuring out how I can make sure you don't forget what I've taught you. Because that is like, you know, an instructor's biggest challenge is like, how do I make sure you don't forget? And how do you, like, how do I help you translate this into action on your product so you can make the world a better place? Like, that's my goal. I want you to make the world a better place. I've found in giving workshops and especially like in prepping for Epic React, all of these workshops that I teach on Epic React are actual workshops that I've given many times to groups of people. And I was about ready to record all of these because I had them all ready. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to just go through them all one more time. So I'm going to get a masterclass together. They're going to buy tickets to all of these workshops, like back to back, over the course of like 2 months. And so what was really cool about that was I was able to see people go from the very beginning all the way through the whole thing. And they developed a really cool relationship with each other. And so they were able to like interact and learn together. And based on like studies and research that I've done and the my own personal experience, you know, anecdotal evidence to support that, I found that like people who are working together to learn something are going to remember it better. They'll be able to apply it. They'll be able to teach each other. So the idea of the KCD cohort in my Discord is just that in general. So the cohort is pretty like intentionally unstructured, where I just, all that I provide is I do these regular office hours that you can come to and ask me any questions. And that's just anybody, whether they're in a cohort or not. And then I provide a place for people to say, hey, I want to learn something. Let's find everybody else who wants to learn that same thing. Go through some material. We have a cohort leader who sets up a schedule. And anybody who's like, cool, I'm good with that schedule, they sign up. And then I give them a place, like a special place on my Discord where they can interact both video and asynchronously on through text, and they go through the material together. And I'm like super jazzed about this because I feel like they will be so much more effective at going through the material that I create or anyone else. I actually don't care. They can go through whatever. And I just want to provide people with a space where they can work through some material together and like fast track their learning experience so that they can get off and make the world a better place.
Awesome. I love the idea that you're bringing people together so that they can help each other, which is such a big part of making the world a better place through software, is like working together as a team, understanding other people's different perspectives. Like, I'm really excited about this idea.
Yeah, thank
for you.
I'm super jazzed.
Well, that brings us to the close of this one. We've talked a lot about, you know, your history and kind of what you're excited about now with Epic React. And I think for the remaining episodes, we really want to talk, like, focus on things that are going to be kind of like outside of React directly, but are going to help everyone build up their careers in web development. And I know coming up next, we're going to be talking about, you know, how to gain experience as a software engineer, lessons that you've learned from open source. It's not all rainbows and unicorns. And, you know, what projects you should say yes to and which ones you should say no to. So I'm really excited. I know you have a lot of experience on all of these topics, and I'm really excited to share that with our listeners in the upcoming episodes.
All right. I'm super excited too.
Cool.
Yay.
We did it.